Okay. I can start if you want.
Okay, sure.
So we didn't have a very full agenda for today. We're still trying to work through some iterations on the design. What we thought would be valuable was at least walk through the elements that we do have in place. There's some changes from some of our last conversations that we've taken into account. You know, you might see a difference in the information architecture that we're presenting today. That said, the intent, the content, the idea behind each of the pages, I think, still remains. We're just trying to kind of clean up some of the thought process and make it a little bit tighter. So what I'll do is, unless somebody has a topic they want to start off with, I wanted to share my screen, just kind of walk through the high-level pages that we're going to go through. Any objections? I'll take that in.
No. No objection.
Okay. So what I'm going to show today is a couple pages. We've got the home page. We have a news and media page I'll show you guys. We have the calendar, the topics page, the policy advice search page, and then a specific statement and what that would look like. I think that's all of them outside of the homepage. You'll notice, I'll just start off with the homepage. There's a couple things to call out immediately is that we've changed some of the information architecture to better reflect where we think some of these pages will live. But the intent of them is really the same as what it was before. So we removed explore and discover and learn, and we went back to a traditional kind of approach to this with an about. We're still struggling too much to like figure out what the right, you know, language would be to be all encompassing. So about will still contain the who we are type of content. It will contain the type of work that we do in the community. It'll still continue to have call-outs to the specific sections of the site that are doing work. And then the how will still be included in there, and it will give an overview of, you know, the organization and the different parts of the community that are involved. However, you'll notice there's a new element here at the top called community. That's where we want to include the specific pages that are dedicated to the ALAC or any of the RALOs, and maybe even one day the specific ALSs if there's a need for them. That's where some of those like profile type of pages or dashboard pages might live, so that those community groups can own those sections. There's maybe even an opportunity for specific working groups to have pages within the community if we find a need for that in the future, where they could call out the specific work that they're doing. I don't know if there's questions as we go, areas
okay.
You want to call
okay,
them out
sure.
for me. So that's kind of the sense here. We changed, I think this section up here, our work was previously learn. We felt that what we're doing here is more than really learning, and what it really was is like the resources section of our site. So what we wanted to call out here was the things that we specifically do as an organization, our work includes that. So today it may just be the topics and the policy advice development. There may be other opportunities for us to call out areas around capacity building or outreach, but we haven't quite figured out, you know, what those would be yet. So, you know, as we go through this, you'll see that, you know, there may be some gaps that we want to get to in the future. Everything else has pretty much remained the same. We changed this to get involved. It was a little more concise, we felt. Okay. For the homepage, this is like the first thing we want people to read. And it tries to answer a few things all at once. The first is like, you know, who we are. We found that across other ICANN sites that you might hop from ICANN.org to WHOIS or GNSO or GAC, and you're not necessarily immediately informed of like where you are. Sometimes even within the ICANN site, ICANN.org is kind of victim to doing iframes and really like aggregating content and not telling people where that content's coming from. So we wanted to be very explicit that they are a part of the at-large community. And then the following statement here is really our kind of call to action. We want to tell people not only what it is that we do as a community, but that, you know, that they can be a part of that. And whether this language resonates or not is less relevant than the placement of that language. And so we can play with some of these content sections as we move forward, and we can see what, you know, best resonates with our community. This would be the site search. We played with different ideas of including it up in the top navigation up here, similar to how ICANN.org will do in the future, and maybe that is a logical place for it, but for now, we've put it front and center so that for more experienced members of the community, they can hop right to what they want to do. For the newcomer, these were the three sections that we thought were the best calls to action: is learn about at-large. This would go into the about and start you right off with the who we are section, or whatever like content area is the default content area. So who we are or what we do or some combination of that if those all get consolidated. Explore our work will take you to the our work section. I think that it will probably take you to the topics page, but we could kind of play with where the logical landing place is for that. Maybe our work in itself is a landing page, and it aggregates some of the topics and some of the policy advice sections. We're not quite clear where that'll land you yet. But the fact that we have the call-out means that we can take them where we need to, so we can explore with that. And then finally, get involved. We're still working through the concepts of what the get involved page will contain on it, but what we're thinking currently is that it's going to have a lot of the different topics that they can get involved with, how they specifically can get involved with policy advice section, and then probably it will call out some of the various working groups that are doing things that are potentially outside of the policy advice development work stream, so that they can see that there's more to at-large than just doing policy advice development. And so I think get involved is a really good way of kind of telling all of those stories depending on what their perspective is.
Steve, do you want to take a few questions?
Sure.
Heidi has a few comments and one question. One comment is she wants the policy advice development more prevalent on the homepage.
This piece right here?
Okay. So, yeah. So, Heidi, if you can you hear me well? Okay, I take that you hear me well. So
yes, I do. I do.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And I see it now. I just didn't see it there. I see it. I got it. Okay.
So yeah. So in the little metrics, the kind of like a bar chart that showcased the policy development work. So that's answer your comment. And then the second comment Heidi has is change the community here on the. The front navigation into a large community just to differentiate from other communities. I think that's what Heidi intends to say. And then the next question she has is how do we get to the policy development wiki page quickly from this website, from this homepage?
Sure.
Which is now answered. Yeah, it's now answered.
Yeah, I think that as we go through some of the other pages, we'll see where the wiki comes into play. I would say I don't know if that's something that we'd want to immediately put on the homepage, but it's something we'll have to explore a little bit. So to kind of close the loop on this first part, this is geared towards really only the newcomer. So front and center, that's the first thing we want them to look at. For more experienced members, outside of the search, they're not going to really be that interested. They may, over time, want to do further research. They may click on Get Involved, you know, from time to time, but this is really geared towards the newcomer. The rest of what's going on down here on the homepage is really for a little bit more advanced member of the community. It's somebody that understands what policy advice development is. And I know some of the terms aren't quite right, and that's okay. We're still kind of cleaning up some of that. But it's really intended to show the activity of work that's taking place within at large. The text sizes and some of the placement of some of this is a little off. That's okay, too. When we get through our design effort, I think you'll start seeing what some of these pages look like in a more refined and polished light. But conceptually, I'm hoping that these three things resonate with you. At the previous meeting we had, we spoke about four major areas that At-Large does work, and that was policy advice development, outreach, capacity building, and operation. So far, what we're showing on this page is our take on policy advice development. I know the order's a little off. It says completed, considered, developed, reviewed, voted. We'll get it kind of situated so that it shows it linearly. It's a little backwards. But what we wanted to show is, you know, over time, how this pipeline is growing, how things are going from in a considered state all the way through a voted and finally in a completed state. So we'll work on kind of the wording, but hopefully that kind of resonates. And what it does is it shows people over time the activity of statements going through that life cycle. The second part was outreach. What we have right now is a map that really illustrates outreach on an ALS representation across like country scale. What we would think is that, you know, people could either hover over these, or there'd probably be a small drop-down box, you know, close to this so that they could select a country. And that would take you probably to a page within the community, the specific RALO, with a more detailed breakdown of those ALSs. And probably this is kind of something we're still playing with, but maybe we also show as we add ALSs to the site, maybe we just have like a running thread here of like the, you know, four most recent ALSs that have been certified. And if they click on either one of the ALSs or one of the view all, it maybe takes you to a page deeper within the community again. The intent of both of these is that these would update themselves. That there's nothing on this page really that we have to manually go to and add a new RALO or update a new number. What we intend is that as we add a RALO to the, you know, RALO section of the site, as we add an ALS to the RALO section of the site, or as a policy statement is published within the policy advice section of the site, all of these numbers just update themselves. Finally, capacity building is still kind of rough. Maybe we can come up with a little bit better approach to this, but right now we just have four metrics that we're tracking. They could definitely be better, and I would encourage us to really think through what it means to do capacity planning. Right now, we just are collecting a couple statistics of as we publish webinars within the site, or as we upload podcasts, or as we link to online courses within learn.icandidate.org. All of these things are metrics that we can update, and then they're clickable metrics that drive people into the portions of the site that have the online courses or show a list of the beginner's guides or whatever they are. And so this really just shows the breadth of information that we have on capacity building, but I would encourage us to really think critically about this and come up with something a little more effective that shows more week-to-week or day-to-day activity that may be taking place. So it's at least a concept that we could go with. If it's not getting a lot of traction, I would really encourage us to come up with something a little bit more effective. On the right, this is really for much more experienced members of the community. Most people that are coming to the site, if they're a newcomer, they don't know the difference between, you know, Alan being officially announced as the ALAC chair or, you know, a teleconference related to AFRLO. So this is really geared towards the more experienced member that may want to see something that's going on within the month. We can kind of play with this. Maybe some of the news and media that we start publishing is a little bit more thought leadership, you know, oriented. Maybe they're just announcements. I don't know. So we'll kind of have to play through that. But this is the place that we'd put some of the top headlines that would drive you into the news and media or calendar related content.
Do you want to take another comment from Heidi?
Sure.
Heidi is asking, apart from the numbers, how do people see the actual policy statement? Same with the webinars, beginner's guides, podcasts, and online courses.
Sure. So let me talk to a couple things. One, all of the stuff under At Large at Work would be clickable content. So for example, if you were to hover over complete, maybe like the color changes from like dark blue to light blue and, you know, the cursor changes so people know they can click on it. If they were to click on complete, what we would do is actually navigate them to the policy advice development page, the search page, with the completed filter enabled so that it would only show completed statements. And the same goes with any of these other statuses. Each of these statuses are filters that you'll see. So this would drive people deeper into the site. Same thing is true for outreach that we were talking to. If you were to click on, you know, North America, I would expect it to take you to the North American Raylo page, and maybe it's a little more detailed perspective, and it actually shows you the pinpointed map similar to the Google map that you guys are comfortable with all of the ALS placement. With capacity planning, these would all be numbers that would be hyperlinked. So if you were to click on Beginner's Guide, I don't know exactly within the information architecture where Beginner's Guides will live yet, but I would expect it to take you to the page that has the Beginner's Guides on it. So whether that's a page within community called Resources or whether it's a part of News and Media, I don't know yet, but it will live somewhere and then that content will be filtered or it'll be on a page, you know, dedicated to beginner's guides or online courses or something like that.
Anthony, I also have a question. How much work would it be to add an increase or contrast font size function?
What is an increase or contrast font?
Anthony, do you want to elaborate the question?
I think I know. You're saying like a little, you're saying like right here in the top where it says A and it's different size fonts?
That's correct.
Yeah, I think that that's something that we could do. I'll talk to the designers and see if we can add that to the pages somewhere where it's consistent. Potentially,
thank you.
In this top bar, because this is kind of some of the like settings of the page. We have that documented.
Okay.
The other thing, just to get back to Heidi's comment, I apologize, I didn't comment on this earlier. You'd mentioned saying at large community. You know, my take on it is we know that we're on the at large site. How do we know that we aren't looking at ICANN News and Media? We know that we're looking at large news and media. We know that we're looking at the at-large work, and we know that if we get involved, we're getting involved with at-large. We know that because we're within the at-large site. I would argue that adding at-large community doesn't make it necessarily more clear, and in fact, it's going to really bunch up the text that we do have, especially in other languages. I have this challenge with the Whois site is that the stakeholder that we work with wants Whois compliance, Whois knowledge base. Well, we have a limited amount of real estate to work with, and I think that it's implied and it's not like an uncommon thing to say community and to know that it's referring to the at-large community, but it's something that, you know, like we can kind of explore and see how it fits with the rest of the content on that navigation. So I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but we do have limited space, and you'll notice that calendar isn't on here because of that same exact reason. It has to live somewhere, and we have limited space, so it fell off the list of things that were most important. But it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So we'll explore with some of these naming conventions as well. Do we have other comments for the homepage? Just at the bottom of the page, we kind of have just the footer of the site. We've been trying to toy with different ideas to have a row here for social media, and we haven't quite figured out something that's really effective. So we've removed it and really just have to stay connected. But I think as we develop fresh content in the site, it's a possibility to have it built in so that people can retweet some of that content and reshare it and still keep it all kind of tied into the social media strategies that you have. We have a tools section that will link people either to the wiki or to our Digo software or whatever tools that we have to have in place. And then finally, we have this section here for how do I probably be our quick how do I's within the community. So how do I join a working group? How do I engage in RALO activities? How do I become an ALAC member? These will all take you to pages that already will exist within the site at some point. But these are really just ideas of pages that we'll put here. They don't have to be these pages. So this is really just to communicate a point of there's going to be stuff that people are going to want to know. This will be better for search results and things like that. So before we move on, any overall sense of what the homepage is functioning like and questions or concerns?
Dave has his hand raised. Dave, please go ahead. Dave, I can hear you.
Hi, sorry about that. I was on mute. Are you hearing me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Dave and Angela, thanks speaking. Just a comment here, and I was just thinking about this policy development pipeline. And I'm looking at this stacked bar, I guess they call it a stacked bar chart, and I'm not sure if it's useful as to it's useful in what it's trying to present. I was wondering, and I'm throwing this out as an example, maybe what you can use is a tab group. So the idea will be that you will have tabs for each of those completed, considered, developed, received, I think, reviewed, and so forth. So the idea being is that, and as you click between those various tabs, you'll get to see the last policies that were considered.
Yeah. So to your point, the problem with this homepage that we have for At Large right now is that there's way too much content on it. Mm-hmm. And I would even argue that what I'm presenting to you is bordering too much content. This is a lot of different topics all at once. So what I want to do is at least be illustrative so that people know that there is activity taking place and that the activity has changed from the last time they were here. That informs them that there's something new. It doesn't necessarily give them all of the details of all of the pipeline developments that are taking place, but it lets them know if there's something worth clicking on. I think that so because there's so many audiences, that's an effective way of doing it.
Okay, this is Dave. All right, but so is it that persons can then click on the complete, consider, developed, and get separate pages for each of those?
Yeah, you would be taken to, and let me hop to it. You would be taken to a page that looks like this page, although we still have some improvements we need to make to it.
Okay.
This page is the policy development search page. And I'd like to improve it. There's definitely things that we need to improve here. But this page is basically a filtered search page. And so what you would get if you clicked on completed is a filter where the status, which maybe we're not showing, would be, open for comments or, voted final draft or adopted, published, or whatever the status is we kind of have to work through. And then it would only show those items.
Just one other comment then, going back to the homepage then. The outreach and the capacity building headings are kind of too small, I think. They kind of, I think, get slightly buried.
You're saying
in that,
this text?
Yeah, that
so
text.
All of the fonts, you'll see even some of this, they've kind of, this is smaller than this. All of these fonts, we haven't really gotten to the point where we're calling out the design elements of them. At some point, when we finish our style guide, it will inform all of the font sizes. And then hopefully that makes it each of these areas as apparent as they need to be.
Okay.
But you're right. This font is literally a different font from this one, which is different from this. So, and the placement of this font isn't quite right. So all of those things we need to improve, but the style guide will inform like those sizing elements, the font, the actual font, the coloring of the font, the place, the spacing between fonts.
Okay. Okay.
Another thing to think about too is as we're kind of playing with these, it's really tough to do a wireframe with without like certain levels of content. You can see we reuse this Alan Greenberg announcement over and over. This announcement headline is 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 words long. So what I want to call out is that a headline should be a little more concise. It's going to allow people to suck in more information. And so regardless of how we build this in the future, it's only as effective as the content we stick into it. And so we should really, as part of our content strategy, be thinking about what are effective headlines that fit within the space we have permitted. Over, like, you know, 6 words starts to get a little wordy, in my opinion. But I think working with the comms team to come up with effective headlines or even rules for headlines will make some of these pages more effective for us. And maybe you could get your top 6 news announcements if our headlines are only 6 words long. One kind of comparison is if you go to google.com and you type in, you know, ICANN.
Okay.
If I type in ICANN at large, you'll notice for even for Google, they're not putting more than, you know, 6 words on a line. And, you know, they're the best. Oh, did I lose my screen sharing? Hold on, I'm loading Adobe. As it's loading, you know, if you do a couple of Google searches, you'll see that even with Google, they can be effective at communicating the best things for you to click on, and they're only using a couple lines for their headline. I mean, a couple words for their headline. Give me a moment, please.
In the meantime, Olivia and Anthony, do you have any comments about the homepage?
Yeah, thanks, Ariel. It's Olivia speaking. I was just going to ask really what Heidi had asked, which is, you know, how does the homepage put forward the policy statements? How does one, you know, get to them? And the beginner's guide and all of the other stuff that's in there. I don't know. I'm trying to think about, you know, if I was someone coming in, I'd say, right, I'd like to find out at large policy statements. Do I just click on that bar which has got all the numbers, and does that take me to it?
Sure. So you could click that bar. So clicking on this bar is one way to dive into that. The other is under our work, there'll be the topics as well as the actual policy advice development would kind of scroll down and there'd be submenu items.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let me kind of hop over.
And the courses, the online courses, how do we jump to those, let's say? Is it also with our work or... How, if I was just looking for an online course.
So if we are comfortable with these as our capacity planning like statistics, then you could always click on any of those numbers and it would jump you to it. However, these types of resources, these webinars, podcasts, beginners guides, I don't know exactly within the information architecture that content lives yet either. So I don't know if it's readily accessible off the news and media page yet. I don't know if under community we need another item called like resources where we kind of have this big knowledge base of content. Those might be requirements that we want to entertain in the future, but they're probably not our like, you know, of the like 100 items, they're probably not in the top, you know, 35 things that we need to accomplish. So we just haven't thought through where that type of content lives yet.
Okay, cool. No other comments?
Other questions? All right. If there's no other questions with the homepage, I'll send these, or if Ariel hasn't already, we can send these out to the group. I have a list of mostly minor things, but things that I'd like the designers to do to update these pages to make it a little bit more effective. So you may see these pages changing a little bit, but I think for the most part the intent is already kind of built into these, and I don't see it changing too much unless there's concern. And then we're collecting the feedback and comments that you guys are making in the chat, so we'll go back over those. The next page here is news and media. News and media is very similar to the policy advice development page. It's got news in it. We haven't figured out all of the different categories of things that we might want to filter on, but we wanted to just showcase that on the left is an ability to filter news and media by different categories of information, whether it's stakeholder, whether it's an event, whether it's a region. I don't know exactly what that taxonomy is. I just want to reflect that if we have a taxonomy, we can build to that taxonomy. As you click items within that taxonomy, they'll kind of show up here and say what you're filtering information on. And then you'll get a short synopsis of that item, and then you'll be able to click further. In addition to that, one thing we're not showing on this, which I asked for, I'll have to re-ask for, is maybe some of the media in this news and media section is a video, in which case maybe we need a little tile here that shows the video. What we didn't want to do is just unnecessarily add little icons to the page. We thought that it took away from the screen real estate and really doesn't necessarily add value. Plus, it adds the headache of us needing to upload icons or small imagery and then making sure that they're all the proper resolution. And so what I wanted to do is keep this simple and allow people to skim through articles quickly. As you'll see, it's sorted right now by latest, basically publication date, but we anticipate that there might be other types of categories that people will want to sort on. But the major functional gain that people get out of a site, a search like this, is the ability to dive into content that they didn't necessarily know had what they were looking for. So, for example, let's say within news and media you typed in the word, privacy rights. There might be 100 articles, news articles that come up related to privacy rights. These categories here will update themselves to reflect the ones that have hits in them. So, for example, there might be one article related to who is privacy, and you'll be like, that was the article I was thinking about. And you click that checkbox, and then one article shows up here. So that's kind of the concept, is that as you select filters, or what I call facets, your results update themselves. But the layout of the page, pretty straightforward. You could always minimize the search if you wanted more screen real estate to read through some of the articles. So that's what this X would do, what we call a little hamburger menu. On top of that, you'll notice that this part of the top level from the homepage has squished down. This basically, all of this chunk up here will remain throughout the rest of the site, so that they have consistent search across the site. Whereas this contains should be used as filtering the news within this portion of the site. So we might put a small little descriptive text up here that says, please use the filters or keywords to, filter out news and media. Something like that. Questions?
Heidi made a comment to the homepage, though. She was talking about capacity building webinars could be placed under I Can Learn, and then I Can Learn can be linked to the homepage.
Absolutely. So whether the webinar lives in our site or whether it lives in another site, we just want something that's tracking how much there is. So what I would think is, even if I Can Learn has three courses, let's say, or three webinars related to at-large, we would want those links directly in our site so that we would link straight to what they want to look at. It gives us a sense of ownership so that we're not just link, you know, like they click webinar and it sends them straight to ICANN Learn, and then they're like, what do I do now? So we want to kind of tailor their experience and get them to exactly where they want to go. But yeah, I agree. It doesn't have to be that we host the webinar. It could live somewhere else. Same with the courses.
No other comments.
Any other thoughts on the homepage? Or,
also, Dev made a comment. Event calendar can be placed under a large work. Yes, Dave.
This is Dave. I'm just going back to that main page and thinking about it. Because you're showing it at large at work, and I think the events that of our working groups as it's happening and so forth, I think that also needs to be highlighted. And I'm beginning to wonder whether I'm not sure what the sequence would be. I'm not sure whether the events would be the first thing under the policy advice, but maybe what could happen is that, and this is something, one of the big challenges within at large is, you know, when is a call happening, what's the call details, what's the Adobe Connect room, all those things. So maybe there could be something like happening now, you know, new GTLD working group call, Adobe Connect, and so forth. So that gets highlighted on the main page somehow. Because I think that would be helpful so that people could just, what is the meeting that's happening now? They could just jump to this page and just jump into the meeting straight in there. That's just a thought.
So I think it's a lot of information for the homepage. But so what kind of help me understand, what is it about the event outside of knowing what the event is that needs to be communicated right away?
This is Dave. I would say it's the Adobe Connect room, the agenda page.
What's an example of an Adobe Connect call that we want to communicate? What, give me an event name.
I'm sure.
Is this one of them? Joint calls, accessibility and technology task force.
Yes, and that's the announcement text. Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if the Skype chat has it. Sometimes it's posted internally on a Skype chat page.
Sure.
Right. I'll just see if I can find one right now. Quickly. All right, copy selection. Something like this. I hope. Let me see if this will format properly. Well, it didn't format, but the idea is remind in 15 minutes, one line, free ICANN briefing webinar, agenda and call details at URL, Adobe Connect room URL is there.
Right.
So if there's something where, if that meeting was starting, it's going to start in 15 minutes or whatever, it'll be up on the main page somehow, so that when you go to the main page, those persons wanting to connect to the actual session would be able to just take that information and go there.
So let's take a look at, for example, I think so. If we have a month view, so this is about the level of detail you get on a month view. If you have a list view associated to that, you only get a couple words of space to communicate all of that information. If I take an event in my calendar, opens up a new page, got all the details you need related to it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would expect is you do one of two things. And we can kind of, we can work through some of these, you know, over time, but either you're able to select a day or you select a month. And it pulls up that month or week or whatever it is. We'll have to kind of work on the granularity. But if you click on read more or whatever the like call to action is, that could bring you to the page that has all of those events details. I would say maybe even this should go one step further and have the time of that event. But if I'm starting to put the Adobe Connect link, if I put the phone number, I mean, that's going to take up this much space. You're going to get one item.
Well, this is Dave. I mean, I'm not saying you showcase the entire URL. You can just have agenda, you have in bracket agenda, and the agenda is hyperlinked.
Hyperlinks under it?
And Adobe, and then the words Adobe Connect Room, and that's hyperlinked to the Adobe Connect Room.
Yeah, so...
They don't have those ugly URLs. I'm not asking to put those in. You know?
Mm.
I'm just saying, you know, for people wanting to find it, the room quickly to join.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me think over that and talk to them about it.
Okay.
Again, though, what this is going to show you is a couple of upcoming events. It's probably not going to get us the granularity they need to get to the event that they're necessarily looking for. Unless this was showing, like, the in-order most recent events, I don't know how many you have in a day.
Sometimes a lot.
Sometimes a lot, right? So if I got three events
Olivia
could
tell me the numbers. Easily sometimes six or seven calls a day. Sometimes.
So
but,
if you've got six or seven and then we add more text to this, you might only get to show two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we make this maybe clickable. I mean, I don't know.
So this is Dave. I mean, I guess my idea is that if you wanted to just find out what's happening today, and I don't want to be able to go to this static I don't know if it's static or not. In a sense, do I have to click on a particular day just to find out what's happening today? I think it should be automatic. It's worked. It's linked toward the calendar in such a way that, okay, this is happening now, or this is going to start in 10 minutes. And, you know, here's agenda, Adobe Connect link.
So just
jump in, you know, if they wanted to or not.
Mm-hmm.
On impulse, you know. So otherwise they have to click through, click, you know. And,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
the difference would be one click from yours or two clicks from mine.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a way we can do it. We can explore with it as we get, you know, further down and start doing actual dev work. We can see how much space we have on the page. I will say, if you reduce the titles of the events, then you have more space to work with. So maybe there's ways that we can fit in those things. I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's a really good idea. No matter what you do, you're not going to be able to put six events in here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Six events is going to take up this much space of your page. That's almost a whole page. Yeah, maybe less than that.
Mm-hmm. So that's why
probably
I'm kind of wondering if
space.
It is. Yeah. So that's why I'm wondering, maybe it doesn't need to be on the right side. That's why I was wondering, I'm thinking whether it should be on the left side, where at large at work, because the events, at least today's events or this week's events, maybe a subset.
Yeah, but
needs
at
to be
large,
under at large at work.
So here, I guess, so the event is where work is happening, but it's not the work.
Sure.
That at large does. At large doesn't do events, right? They do policy development, policy advice development. They do certain forms of outreach, and they do capacity building. The event is in support of, you know, the work that they do. And it may actually include where they do the work, but it isn't the work. And very much the same, you'll notice also that we haven't put operation on here yet. It's not that we don't do work around operations. It's just not, unless we misunderstand, it's not the work that defines who at large is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a logical place for where we put operational material, how people join so that they can assist in the operational objectives. but it isn't what defines at large. People don't think of at large so that they could do operations in much the same way that people don't, you know, go work for ICANN to do finance. Even though we have a finance department and we do finance work, it's in support of our mission.
Okay, this is Dave. I mean, we can go on. I mean, it's just something to think about. It's not right.
Absolutely.
I actually have a question for Steve about, like, how much personalization we can have for the calendar. Is that possible to, maybe we haven't even thought that step yet, but if people can subscribe to it and then it will have some kind of reminder, then maybe it will solve the problem already.
Absolutely.
So
the calendar is definitely a topic that I think we need to, you know, think more about. We have at least a first cut of what the calendar will look like on the calendar page. Regardless of that, the intent of the homepage is to show breadth of work, to show activity taking place, and to hook newcomers. It's not to give all of the information of content that's taking place within the site. If we try to solve that problem, we will get left with our current at-large site, which starts listing everything. We've got a lot of content.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that this page kind of pops up with some of the information, and maybe we'll get to that point. I'm not exactly sure, but this is a lot of screen real estate. The calendar itself takes up an entire page. So, to Ariel's point, there may be other mechanisms that can get us the information they need in a timely manner so that we don't have to clutter the homepage further than it is, because I think that we're pretty much at the capacity of what this page can communicate. So, we'll continue to kind of explore stuff, but I think that we should start with a baseline and see what is happening. If nobody's clicking on the events on the calendar, we'll know. And then it's time for us to, you know, rethink it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obviously, it wouldn't be effective if no one's clicking on it.
Well, this is Dave. If you're looking to minimize the, I mean, I would say just show the agenda view of the calendar, and which would then save the screen real estate, so you won't have two sets of...
You mean get rid of this part of it and then just show, like, a stream?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're looking at the sea of real estate and all
that.
Yeah,
I mean, potentially, maybe part of the problem is that this doesn't actually give them any value. Maybe it just says upcoming events, you know,
and then it's from two weeks ago,
title, and then instead of read more, maybe you're right, maybe there's, like, three brackets that says, Adigo, you know.
Yeah,
or
Adigo
numbers. I don't know, we'll play with it.
Yeah. Okay.
What I'll do is I'll just take a note to take a couple of these as examples and pull up. So you got the Adobe.
Yeah, but you realize that in that page it's not hyperlinked. So you have to cut and paste from that.
Yeah, I understand. Where is the So this is the conference ID. Is it always that conference ID, or there are other ones?
No, different
ones. It varies. Yeah, it varies.
So you'll still, no matter what, you'll need to read more, because you're not going to get all of this. Does this thing have a...
And also, these pages are supposed to link to Wiki, where Giza and other staff upload the information for meetings.
Yeah.
But on this calendar, it's not hyperlinked.
But if you look at the agenda view, you see it's a lot more real estate, if that's what it is.
You know what would be interesting is we do it similar like this. We put the dates like this. You get your title. If you click on the name, it will actually take you to a detailed page instead of popping it out. Accessibility aside, I don't know. Maybe we can look into this. I'll look into kind of seeing if we can get an agenda view like this or something similar.
And I tell you, Steve. The other thing is that for persons who are not familiar with UTC time and all this kind of stuff, you know, this is also misleading because, you know, they see 4 p.m. and they're thinking, oh, it's 4 p.m. my time. And it's, you know, it's no, it's UTC time. You got to look at. So you got to, you have the, you know, so they have, that has to, especially if people are logged in or if you, if they have some way of knowing what time zone the person who visited the page is from, you know, you probably need to, the calendar needs to be, I mean, that's why I say, you know, it needs to have something like upcoming events in 3 hours, in the next half hour or some, you know, because people might, will get confused, especially, yeah, because I go to that quite often. I tell them, look, there's a calendar, but then they get confused with the times when they look at it. And then I have to explain to them, well, yeah, you got to subtract the hours or add hours. And, but anyway. But
okay, so that's,
I know we're taking up a bit of time here on it, but yeah.
All right, I'll have to think through some of that. That's a little different, so I'll have to think about it.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. This is the calendar page that we're working through. It's similar to how ICANN's IANA stewardship page looks. It's just the, I mean, it would be just the same as your month view in Google Calendars. It's maybe a little more stylized. I would expect these to either pop ups or just take you to the dedicated page. And then if you change it to agenda view, you get what you're asking for already. So if the homepage shows a portion of the agenda view or it is the agenda view, so be it. The only difference is this page has the ability for us to, if we happen to tag our events, we can then filter by it so that people can show only the events that they happen to be interested in. So again, I don't know if these taxonomy elements are exactly what you're, you know, might be valuable to us, but it's just to illustrate that we can do it if we come up with what that taxonomy is. Olivia?
Olivia, you have a comment?
Yeah, thanks. I had a comment on the previous page, not the front page, but the one we were talking about before we went back to the previous page. Yeah, this one. The topics, are these easily updatable by at-large staff? Because
the actual topics or the taxonomy?
Topics. Yeah, the taxonomy. Because there are new things which are likely to come over the years, and there are some which are likely to not evolve. So in case there are some new ones, you know, can these be added?
So I would expect this page to be updated automatically when we create a new topic page. So this taxonomy, when you create a new here's what the topics page would look like. If you add a new topic, it would be listed on this page, and then, you know, if you, for example, created the DNS topic and you started populating that with its content, this page would update itself. It'd say DNS.
Mm-hmm.
So this page itself is meant to actually just maintain itself.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. So effectively, when you create the thing, you'd say keywords or something, and then that would add those keywords to these.
Yep. Worst case scenario is the, I guess I could, I can't actually show you at the moment. In the content management systems that kind of manage all of these content, you know, worst case scenario is this page has a little widget called topics, and if you're logged in as an admin, you just click configure and then you add another element, and it knows how to go look for topics on that element. And that'd be it. Either way, what I've spoken to with the web admin team, what I've spoken to with Chris Gift, is that we want to empower the at-large staff and then, you know, the members of the community that they have trust in to create their own content and to manage that content. So the tools are already exist, and it's pretty standard. It just becomes a comfort level of, you know, maintaining it so that you don't have to put in a request and wait 4 hours or 2 days or whatever the turnaround time is.
Dave has a comment.
Okay.
Dave?
Hi. Hi. This is Dave. Okay, I'm unmuted. Yes, this is Dave. Something about the way that the results were presented for that. I mean, you know, I see like, okay, for under the tag list, the taxonomy, you have 13 results, 5 results, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not sure if the word results needs to be there. This may sound nitpicky, but I would think that all you need to do is just have like what they call the badges in the HTML development thing, where you have the word and then the badge indicating the number of results.
Are you saying just get rid of the word results or get rid of the number?
Get rid of the word results.
Okay, yeah. I think
because the results doesn't exactly give context of what does that mean, results. Second thing also, I noticed that the headings had like a region indicator. And the thing is, I'm not sure all of our announcements and news are region specific. So I'm beginning to wonder, is there a way to, well, say global? I don't know.
Yeah, there would be an all. There would also be an all built into them.
Okay, because I need sort of 5 regions there. So I would then see an all in that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. Hmm. I'm just wondering let me ask a question also. Is it that when they type the tags in the front at the top, upper left, it will autofill so when person types WHO, it will autofill to who is?
Sorry,
is that
the
idea?
Yeah.
Okay. On the upper left, I believe there is a way of specifying, I guess my question is this. Well, I'm not seeing your screen anymore, but
yeah,
I'm not seeing
the page.
So in the upper left, you had this big long list of how you could filter things, and I kind of wonder if that's maybe a little bit too much. Is there a way to like also have at the upper left, this is how when you auto-type, when you auto-fill, I guess is the thing. So like when you type WHO, it would autofill and suggest who is, and you just select that.
Sure. So let me talk to that point.
Let
me ask you a question. If you're looking on privacy,
mm-hmm.
how many different topics related to privacy are there?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Well,
there could
I don't
be
know.
Privacy
yeah.
related to who is or not. You might not even
Correct.
Know who is in there. So the concept is that you can do keyword search, and as you search, your results can maybe, you know, return results. I don't know. That's really an implementation question. So as you write into the contains keywords, you might type in the word privacy, and you will get all the results related to privacy. However, there may be one to many topics related to privacy. Right? There may be privacy across IANA stewardship. There may be privacy across compliance and who is. And it might always lead to the same exact statement, or maybe it doesn't. So the whole concept is that you do a search for what you do know, and then you're returned also categories of information that have that search result in it. So that if you want, you can get a more distilled version of that search topic. So the keyword search to the left will do what you're asking for. And maybe as we're developing it, as you type in words, it even suggests other searches that have been done or trending searches or whatever. I don't know the full extent of what we'll be able to do. But the filters on them should remain. They're the taxonomy that we define so that people can discover stuff that they didn't necessarily know was related to the search word that they put in. And I'll tell you the reason why that's important is sometimes you do a search for privacy and the Whois privacy document that you happen to be looking for doesn't come up. Or sometimes you type in Whois privacy and the search is just not good enough to return the Whois privacy document that you were looking for. And so this is a way to drill in deeper. It's a structured way to do it within an intranet. It's a mechanism we use when we don't have like the public Google search tool. Because sometimes, you know, intranet searches just aren't, like the algorithms that return results just aren't good enough. And this is why a lot of people use faceted search within, like, corporate settings.
But, like, the content on the right side is basically the, let me just share my screen. So I think on the news and media page, the content on the right side will just be the suggested content, like, you know, the hint. If you type some keyword on this box here, and then this part will update itself too, so now you can read through it and see whether there's any content that is what you're looking for. But at the same time, this faceted search will help you narrow down very effectively.
Yep.
This is Dave. Just a quick comment here, you know, because you could probably also use a word cloud to indicate which topics have more entries and whatnot. So,
sure.
I think I'll know what that is. Use that on the slide, indicating which working groups got more of the recommendations and so forth.
So that's definitely another option that we could kind of look into, is maybe a word cloud. The thing about word clouds, it's definitely worth, we could definitely experiment with something like that. I don't know how effective it would be. I find that it's a little cluttered looking at a word cloud and trying to pull out something. We happen to have the benefit of knowing the structure, or at least we can do the work to know the structure in advance, which means we can organize it. A word cloud's nature is that it's unorganized. It pulls out whatever happens to be clicked on the most, or then, you know, so, you know, there's benefits and there's disadvantages to using a word cloud.
Okay.
What's the primary concern with the showing the filters? Is it that there's too many?
Well, this is Dave. I'm thinking yes. I'm also not sure how you're organizing these topics. I mean, is it, because I'm seeing it all, you know, there's not alphabetic, you know, how do you organize it? That becomes a challenge, you know. You may be looking, where's the accountability? It's not up here. And it's, you know,
the intent of this page is not to define the taxonomy. It's just only to illustrate the functionality that we want to build, which is an ability to filter. The job of defining that taxonomy is up to the rest of the team to do over time. The worst case scenario is that all of these topics would apply to an article, which now you see what the layout would look like. The best case scenario is that you typed in a keyword, right? Like, I want to know about Atlas 2, and it would say, hey, there's 32 articles on Atlas 2. By the way, all of them are, you know, announcements, or two of them are videos and three of them are announcements. So we have to define what this taxonomy is. And I understand it's a little difficult to do when you're looking at it, and I've kind of put in examples. But it's up to us to separately define what that taxonomy is and all of the different categories that you can filter on. But this page will update itself to reflect the categories in that taxonomy that even return results. If whois was zero, it wouldn't say whois at all. There would be no whois. So whois would only show if it happens to have a hit. If there was no topics, maybe it's just minimized entirely. Maybe it doesn't say topics if there were no topics that returned a result. I don't know. So some of those like elements of the page we can get to a more advanced kind of piece of functionality. But it's really difficult to put it all into one wireframe, and we have limited, you know, wireframes to direct our time to.
Okay. This is Dave. One more comment. I'm sorry I'm taking so much time.
No,
I'm just thinking the announcement type is not going to be as useful. I think the topics need to be up there with the keywords.
The
announcement types, you know, because why would people be interested in personnel changes? I mean, I think you have to be really involved
I was
in that
thinking
kind of really
they need
it.
I was thinking, this is Steve, sorry, I was thinking that the announcement type isn't an effective portrayal of what we really need it to be. What I was expecting it to end up being later is maybe it says content type or type of content or something like that, and it says as one of them, it's an announcement. As another, mm-hmm. maybe it's a webinar. As a third, maybe it's an interview or it's a video or a blog or whatever those like key categories are, but it shouldn't say announcement type application, announcement type volunteers, because I think that's it's too specific.
This is Harry. I also want to add to that is right now what we think the news and media content will be the message sent from ALAC announce, you know, those mailing lists. But if we can brainstorm more type of news and media that we're circulating at large, then we can make the taxonomy more diverse. So right now you see that announcement because we only think about announcement as a type of media and news. So if we think of others, then we'll be able to build a better taxonomy on this page.
Okay.
But I agree, there is, I had some concern too when I was first thinking about this as to whether we're showing too many different categories for them to filter on, and that's okay. I think we should build the taxonomy we want people to change their perspectives around, and then we'll, you know, go back and either tweak or completely, you know, rework how, you know, some of the elements on the page work. And those are things that I think we can do. You know, maybe we end up with a very simple taxonomy, which is just the topics. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can do it, and maybe. We can then measure it, and we can see, hey, nobody's clicking on any of those. They're just doing a search, and they're scrolling, and they're clicking. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we get rid of it entirely.
But this is Dave. Sorry to hop on it. So going back on the topics, the other thing also that, you know, when you see these acronyms like RDF, RAIDN, AOC, you know, what the heck what do those mean? So I assume those each of those topics would be would have hyperlinks to have like some sort of explanation or a tooltip even, you know, to explain what those acronyms mean.
So, for the topics. So there's the way that this is structured under our work, there's the topics, which is really just like a high-level catch-all. Here's all the topics. I still need to work with them to clean this up a little, but maybe we do big tiles like this with a quick description, or maybe they're smaller tiles so that we can kind of keep some structure to this. And then underneath, like, the top six topics, it's just a list view. I don't really know. We'll have to kind of play with it.
Okay.
But right now we're kind of illustrating it where they get a description, and then you would be able to jump to the topic page.
Excellent. That's good. Yeah.
If you want to show the topic page. So this is an example of the actual topic page, so you get your background. We thought that it might be interesting to have related topics, maybe not, but there's an area reserved for us to kind of have some relationship to other things that are going on. We have any of the news and media that was, you know, tagged appropriately would get brought into this. And then on the right, we wanted to illustrate any kind of resources, so whether there's specific webinars, beginner's guides, or any other types of resources. Maybe there's external websites that have really good how-tos. This would be the place to put that. I still want to work with them on this. There's probably a more effective way to get a list of resources, and it doesn't have to be a big old tile with a little link. So I kind of have to work through that. But if you guys have some ideas, you know, by all means, share them. Maybe we break it out into different, you know, resource categories with links within it. I'm not sure. And then finally on this page, you can't see it very effectively. I've asked them to kind of update and show what the policy advice portion of this page would be. What I would like to see is within policy advice, all of the statements open and closed that are related to this topic, and then a very clear call to action. So depending on the status of the specific statement, whether it's seeking a pen holder, whether it's you know, it draft, you know, first draft has been released and it's open for comment, whether it's under a vote. I want it to consistently show the call to action so somebody can either become a pen holder or add a comment or whatever it is, so that, you know, it's not just like food for thought, but it actually is inciting them to do something. So I'm asking them to kind of come back with the updated policy advice portion of this page. Finally, I know that stakeholder isn't necessarily relevant to policy advice, so we're either going to remove that or it's going to be something less primary. The same with the topic, is those things should be like secondary elements of information. So what I expect to see is the title a little more prominent. Underneath that title, if there's other additional information that's sort of tagged to it, fine, it can kind of show, but it should be secondary.
Well, this is Dave. Just going back to that policy section, unless there's a separate page for that, I mean, what could be done is that the actual type of policy advice category is could be used. So if it's an ALAC statement, you know, that type of thing.
What could happen?
Well, okay, if you go to our policy advice page, I believe it's along the lines of ELAC statement on issue or letter to ACSO board regarding something like that. So instead of you reading ELAC statement on, then on the next one, ELAC statement on, ELAC statement on, ELAC statement on. You cut the ELAC statement on and just say, it's headed as ELAC statement and introduction of two character domain names.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what,
I'm just
okay, so but what are
suggested.
The, how does the entity come into play? Because I'm not currently reflecting that information. You can do that, drop.
Okay.
Is this what you're talking about?
No, well, yes, all right, so in that policy page, you have the correspondence, whether it's a correspondence, a statement, and so on. My, and I'm just throwing this out there, maybe Olivia, you can agree or disagree. We have it worded as ELAC statement on, ELAC statement on. And so I'm just saying, start it with the title of what the communication is about.
Okay, so let me, if I can speak to that before. So first of all, if we're looking at classification, an advisory, is that a statement? Or are they different?
I think, no, the classification would be statement if it is a statement.
Okay, so there's statement
advisory,
I understand.
The advisory would be like a correspondence to the board. Maybe Olivia could elaborate on it more.
Sure.
Advisory is meaning that this is something that the ELAC itself is sending to another EC and SO regarding a particular issue that's not necessarily on ICANN's public comment.
But it is a statement, right?
It's Olivia here. This is where this correspondence page is out of date. There is no the thing is not advisory, correspondence, and statement anymore. A statement is something that has been voted on by the ALAC and is therefore advice with a capital A. Correspondence. Is stuff that has not been voted on by the ALAC, and that is therefore just like a letter or something that's not been voted on. So correspondence does not contain any advice with a capital A. A statement contains advice with a capital A. Unless in the statement, a thing it is said in there, it doesn't actually say the ALAC advises XYZ to do such and such a thing, etc.
So can we talk about correspondence for a second?
Yep.
I don't currently understand what the process is for a piece of correspondence to be written. I don't know where it starts or ends, and I don't know where the content belongs.
So the first thing is, do not take the current classification on the website as working. It's wrong.
Sure.
From A to Z. So that's why it says correspondence, statement, and everything, and that's rubbish.
Understood.
So a correspondence is basically anything that is not a statement a letter from the lecturer to the board or to anyone, basically, is a correspondence. A letter, it could be an email, it could be a Word or a PDF letter with the ALAC with the ALAC letterhead, as long as it actually has a correspondence number, then it is a correspondence that needs to be, you know, that will be archived, basically.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Can I propose two solutions on where we could put correspondence? One
that's the
solution.
Correspondence, but one thing that was wrong with that correspondence that you just looked at was the fact that it did not have a correspondence number.
Is correspondence related to the policy development, policy advice development process in any way?
I have no idea how this thing came up in correspondence anyway.
I think we're going diving off on this thing here. Maybe I would retract it. It was just really going back to that policy page and maybe trying to simplify it in some ways. But maybe we could just leave it as is for the first version. Just leave it as ELAC.
What I want to make sure we don't do is exclude correspondence unnecessarily. I'm trying to understand, how is correspondence related to the policy advice development process, or is it not?
I think it's separate.
Okay. So, I can propose two places where correspondence can live so that it doesn't necessarily kind of convolute the policy development piece. One, it can still be that correspondence is related to a topic, right? Maybe. Maybe not. But what I would suggest is either the correspondence lives as a type of news and media, or that under community, we have a section of the site dedicated to various resources, and one of them happens to be correspondence, and that's where we can document all of the correspondence that lives there. So it's not that it's not relevant, it's just not one of the primary drivers of the site. And so now it's in a place off to the side, it's organized, and it's still relevant to those that want to go look for correspondence.
Mm-hmm. That could work, I would think.
And then if a topic page aggregates correspondence because it's tagged appropriately, then maybe you see like a set of correspondence links on your topic page too. But maybe not.
Mm-hmm. So it would be in the same database, but it would be separate. Is that correct? So
same database, just looks like it lives in a different portion of the site. So now your policy advice portion of the site is focused only on advice. And if correspondence happens to be a driver for a piece of advice in the future, it can get linked. So in much the same way that we envision, and we'll show you in a second, us starting the policy advice process with a public comment, you can easily link to a correspondence if that happens to be something that ignites a piece of advice. So, and I'll show that in a moment.
Yeah, that works for me.
Yep, yeah.
Do you want to go to the next one?
Policy advice?
Click on policy advice first. I'm just going to talk about this one only briefly. This should look and feel very similar to the way news works. There's things that I've asked them to update to make it a little bit cleaner, but it should look and feel the same as the way news and media works. I know some of the topics, I know like stakeholder isn't necessarily relevant, and so there's some cleanup we have to do, but it should just act as the same kind of faceted search as news and media, but only of the actual statements. So the taxonomy, again, is something we have to look at. We have to figure out, you know, what are the relevant things we want people to be able to filter on, and we can kind of scale this back as we need. But, for example, like language, maybe, you know, if we are translating the rest of the site or if you're already in a certain language, you don't need a filter on language. It's already going to show you only your language. You know, so we'll have to kind of work through that. Language is there just to illustrate that if we don't do languages, if we don't do translation across the whole site, that at least this page would have, you know, the various languages built into it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that becomes more prominent across the top, too. We'll have to kind of play with that. So that's just, like, to dive people into a specific statement. And, again, we can change the content. It doesn't have to say ALAC statement, ALAC statement, ALAC statement. Maybe it just says introduction of two-character domain names, you know, bylaw changes, whatever. So, but whatever, like, we go with for the news and media or whatever we go with for policy advice should be the same type of approach we take with this one.
So this is Dave. Going back, sorry about that. So going back to the policy page, then going back to the languages, I wasn't too sure what I understood that because I saw that you could filter by language.
Yeah.
So is it that? I believe all statements are sent are translated.
Yeah. All
to the 61 languages. So is when you click on when you click onto a particular policy advice. Item. Is there another page that opens up and then
wireframe up?
So
we're clear, before you click on one of those statements, all I'm saying is if we don't translate all the content in the site, for example, if we don't translate ALAC statement on introduction of two-character domain names for whatever, those TLDs, then we have to have some kind of filter to, like, filter all of these out. So all I'm saying is if you scroll up to the top, if we don't have those languages built in so they could select a language at the top and the whole site is translated in that language, then at a minimum, when they do a search, if they click on the language, it will return results that are in that language at least.
Oh.
So I would like the whole site to be translated. That's just what I would like us to do for all of our sites, especially if we're part of what we're doing is outreach. I understand it can be expensive, and we need to get budgets and all that, but that would be the goal that I would kind of set forth, is that we get all of the language in the site translated, especially for things as simple as policy advice, date, title, these titles. Those are really simple things that we do once, and we never have to do again. If you look at the content on this page, 99% of this content will be translated, and you do it once and you never have to do it again, and you happen to be translating these documents anyways, so in theory this whole page of the site can be translated. So the real question is, do we get these about pages translated? Do we get our work translated? Maybe we don't get news and media translated, okay, but the rest of the stuff is sometimes static content that we do one time and then we're done. So, I would recommend we translate everything. But if not,
well, this is Dave.
Translation filter.
Okay. This is Dave. I mean, I would say yes, if it is doable. I mean, I'll reserve my comment when you click on when I see the wireframe for the policy advice.
Sure.
I guess I'm trying to see, figure out how the languages are actually shown up. If you wanted to.
Sure. So if you were to click Spanish at the top of the page, what I would expect is this whole page would be translated.
Okay.
If we don't do it that way, we could tag all of the content in the language that they want, and then it shows up as a completely separate line item. That makes sense, because it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it'll always link you to the same wiki space where you put your comments. It'll always... So, I mean, it's not a problem. What it ends up being is that what I would like us to do is we just give the translation team access to these pages, or whatever the mechanism ends up being, they go in and keep it up to date. When you guys update stuff and you want it translated, you click a button on your page, and then it informs them, and they come back to this, and they update it for you. That's what I'd like it to get to. so you don't have to like send them an email with a bunch of text and then get it back and then, you know, copy and paste it in. I'd like them to have the ownership of that, and I think that we'll get there eventually.
There's a question.
Oh, are the ICANN.org pages translated like that? For the most part, they are. We're looking into a new piece of software called, it escapes me at the moment, but it's basically a mechanism that lets them browse the site and translate it right on the web, and then it creates the page. So you can't see it like on the public. Yeah, if you scroll up. So you're in French. If you click on Spanish. I'm surprised that their resource, their navigation
is not Spanish.
Go to Whois, and because we'd end up building it similar to Whois. So in Whois, if you click on French, then everything's in French. If you scroll up and click on Participare, in the navigation, it remains in French. And any of the links you click remain in French. So that's what I would expect, is we just translate everything. The whole information architecture is essentially recreated in that language. And then if they happen to be in that language, they continue to remain in that language. This one's not using the website tool I mentioned. This one's built using just Drupal content management. It could be another approach we take if they happen to build it in Drupal. I haven't talked to the IT team about what technologies they're going to use, but we want to build it in a way that empowers, in my opinion, it empowers the translation team to just come in and do their work so that we don't have to.
So, well, this is Dave. I mean, I guess that sounds fantastic. So in the terms of then you would have, then you hire, you would, so then, how should I put it? From the root structure, then you'll have like one for each language, EN, ES, FR, or something, and then every single, the entire site duplicated for each of those sections? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah. I wish I remembered off the top of my head with that software. But basically, it's a piece of software that mirrors your site and allows the translators to put in their translations, press save, and then when somebody clicks on that language, it basically shows the mirrored site with the updated language.
Mm.
Well, we're still working on that.
The concern obviously is like, the file attachments for the actual statements and so forth. I mean, the URL should be consistent when it comes to that.
No. Not necessarily. The document is in another language.
So, right. Okay. So the attachments, okay. Well, I guess when we look back at the wireframe.
If you have two attachments, one in Chinese and one in English, then you have a Chinese document and an English document. It's not the same document, so the URLs can't be the same.
Right. The URL itself, okay. When I say the URL, it should be consistent. How should I put it? Like, if you want, well, how should I put it? If it's like @/en name of PDF, all I needed to do if I wanted to send, for example, in the Latin American and Caribbean region, I would have to like be sending communication on, okay, here's the English and here's the Spanish.
Yep.
So I would just want to be able to then just point a link to just give
each
one URL, and then I just cut and paste and just say EN to ES, and that's it.
We can kind of work through that when we get to the implementation phase. I don't know what the constraints will be on us. It's going to depend on us working with our IT guys and the architect to tell us what is possible and what's not possible. But at the end of the day, if I give you a document called /ES/Steve's address, like that, that's English. So, I don't know, maybe we build it so that it's smart enough to like go, oh, well, you put in /ES, so actually take them to the Spanish document, but I don't know. We'll have to talk to IC guys about it.
Okay.
So at a minimum, maybe we build in redirects so that if you put in es/stevesaddress.pdf, it knows to take you to the Spanish PDF, but I wouldn't put all the documents in there in English. Managing that from like a database perspective is going to get a little hairy.
If the policy page done, I'm just thinking, I guess when people look back at the policy page and you walk through that then, and when you click onto a particular statement, what happens? Do you see like links to the oil?
Sure.
The statements,
so let me walk you through that process. So what we've done is we started off, we wanted to call out probably the biggest thing to their attention is just the process that you go through from us publishing the statement will, exist through, identifying a pen holder, draft being uploaded and that we're open for comment, that a final draft is published and that we're going through an ALAC vote, and then what we call submission, maybe some of the language here isn't quite right, but basically like some kind of outcome or impact or, closing of this life cycle. So we'll have to kind of go through and clean this up. But what I want to do is show them the life cycle so they know where they're at. Second, right under status is this like background and kind of call to action. This open for comment portion of the page will always update itself with whatever the current call to action is. So if our status is we're open for comment, it gives a timeline. I would expect that to even be a hyperlink so that you can click open for comment and it would take you straight to the actual wiki page. But also below that, there should be a separate call out for that as well. We have the background, so this is really the background of why this statement is being done, not the background on, the policy advice process, but that, hey, this statement is in regards to a public comment from ICANN or a correspondence document or whatever it is, and then it would always link you either to that public comment or that correspondence document or whatever it is that kind of initiated this statement. So that portion of this page is manually updated. So that is really, so far, outside of selecting start and end dates, is the only piece of information that we expect to be like manually entered each time. And my argument is, if you know you're going to write a statement, then you at least know why you're writing it. And that's really where the why goes. Gives context. The statement section, my understanding is that you currently do your draft as a wiki page. So this in a draft form would link to the wiki page. In a final draft, if you've gone through the process of creating a PDF, at that point you could always upload it to the site as a refined artifact, and then maybe like the image updates itself and all that. The last two pieces of this is really activity shows the the day-to-day steps that took place on this document. So it's really just a versioning. It shows when a statement was posted. It shows when a pen holder was selected. It shows, when it was open for comments, when it was closed for comments, whatever those pieces of information are. It's going to show timestamps so that people can always look back and see a history of it. And then finally, we wanted to put on all of them an FAQ so that if this one has a different mechanism for providing comments or if this one has a different mechanism for how a pen holder is selected, whatever it is, we can always define those FAQs up front, and we only update them when we need to.
Well, just quickly, Heidi has a question about the graphic regarding the policy development process in, at large. I think I showed you before, like the Z graphic. So she's asking where we're going to put that.
So if the Z graphic aligns more clearly, that's fine. Obviously, we would want to use a Z on this page because the amount of space. I would also encourage us to only show the steps in the process that we need to show. So the things that are moving them along, the things that keep it actionable. But I'm not opposed to that. We just kind of have to go through and do some cleanup.
Yeah, and also another place to put it is on the home page, I believe we have the, what's that called, explore our work, and then maybe we will have a page just explaining the policy advice development process, and then we will put the graphic there.
On the home page?
No. It's the page that...
It would be under Learn.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Explore our work would take you to the actual work.
Okay. So now Learn, and now we will have a page about policy advice development. And then we will explain the process there with the infographic.
Yeah, so maybe if we go back to the actual policy details page.
This one. Okay.
So maybe we update the statuses section to reflect the key statuses. I would argue that we probably have room for a sixth status in there. I would try to not get too far into that. Otherwise, it's going to be so much information that they probably won't read it. So you want to be careful to just kind of highlight the key statuses. And then separately in the FAQ, there could be an element in there that says, you know, how does the policy advice process work or something like that, and it could give a quick overview and then link them to the about page that has all the detailed graphics and stuff like that within it.
We can even have this in the FAQ maybe some part, like a quick link to learn how the policy advice development works in at large, and then we put a link there and then direct people to that page or something.
Yeah. So Heidi has a question also about ALAC members and links to the working groups. So first thing is, at the top of this page, we're kind of calling out the region that may be relevant. There may be multiple regions potentially. I'm assuming every piece of policy advice is related to at least one region. Now, if that's not true, let's call it out, but my understanding is that it's got to be related to at least one, potentially all. Related to the ALAC members, maybe in the FAQ we call out, like, who is the ALAC or how is the ALAC related to this or something like that, so that we could drive them back into the appropriate about pages. If there's a need to call out the ALAC every single policy advice statement, it's kind of redundant data in my opinion. But maybe there's a way to link them not only to the about page, but also to the ALAC community page. So we'll have to think about that.
Oh, okay. Actually, Heidi is asking where we're putting the about for the ALAC. It's not necessarily related to policy statement. It's just a kind of a one-stop shop about ALAC information.
Yeah, so in the last meeting we had, we talked about all the stuff that would go into the about. So it would cover the organizational chart. It would give a highlight of the ALAC and potentially some of the working groups. It would talk about the AFRALOs and all the other RALOs. It would talk about the specific topics that we might be working on. It's going to give the overview there. However, the specific ALAC page, if we were going to build one, would fall under community. The specific RALO page would fall under community. That would be their, like, dashboard pages, if people wanted a dashboard view of those.
Let's see. And this from previous year.
Yeah.
Devin said, and this from previous years as it changes every year.
Well, Heidi still insists we call it a large community instead of just community for this particular page.
We'll see what we can get.
Yeah, we're 30 minutes over, so...
it's up to you. We have time spent to follow up.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's late for Olivier. But do you guys still want to keep talking about these web pages, or we can stop the call now and I can send you all the wireframes, and then you can have your own commenting. And yeah, we're up to you. So.
Well, up to Olivia.
Yeah, thanks. It's Olivia speaking. I mean, it's all fine. If you want, were you going to take us through a few more of the pages, or?
I think this is the majority of them. There was, like, some of them we didn't talk that much into, our calendar and things like that, but I think you guys probably get a sense of the content we do have right now. Mm-hmm. For me...
I just thought...
Sorry.
Yeah, there was just a couple of things I had seen. I wasn't quite sure whether that related, and I it was the login and sign-up part.
Yeah.
Was
that's
that
actually
going to give each one of us?
So I don't want to show that yet. It's possible that we get that in the future, and that's where it would live. So I kind of wanted to reserve the space, but it's not something that I think that we'll build in a first cut of this site. It was really to reserve it so that we didn't put the search bar up there.
Trust me to look at the stuff that's not there, then, huh? Okay.
It's maybe something that we can even talk to. Is that, you know, maybe there's a call for us to have that at some point. I don't know what it is yet. We can't build it yet anyways with the funds we have. But if we are going to build it, we don't want to put something else there and then find that we have to start tinkering with the core parts of the site.
Okay. And second thing was a question related to the languages. I didn't quite understand whether the website was totally translated in those other languages or not.
That's what I would like us to do if it's possible. If it's not possible, this language piece at the top would probably be removed, and one of the two things would happen. At a minimum, under our work policy advice section of the site, that page would be translated maybe, or it would at least allow you to search for translated documents. When we get to the implementation phase, we can kind of work out some of the, you know, logistics involved. But it's one of those two, because the requirement given was, at a minimum, the statements need to be translated. I would like us to get to a point where the rest is translated. It's really difficult for somebody to get to a translated piece of content if they can't read anything in the site. So,
Just that because, simply because, indeed, you just touched on it there, but obviously Arabic reads from right to left, and so that might make an absolute mess of your formatting as well.
I've done it before.
That would be done. Yeah,
we've learned a lot. Yeah, I mean, the Whois site's in Arabic. If you want to go, I don't know if you can read Arabic. I've learned actually a lot about Arabic.
Okay.
The whole Whois site is Arabic.
Yeah.
And it was not easy, but we definitely learned a lot about how to do it properly.
Cool.
So I would like it to be in Arabic, and all it takes is for us to build it properly, and then keep it in Arabic. As in translated.
If it works, that would be great. That would be excellent. I mean, you know, we really are faced now with more and more pressure to have those other languages because we have a real setback on the number of people from those regions. And it's becoming quite obvious that strategically ICANN doesn't need the support from the English-speaking regions, but needs a lot more support from, and that's looking at the bigger picture, needs a lot more support from two specific languages, three. You have, in fact, all four. You've got French, you've got Russian, and Chinese. They're very important. Arabic as well, but the countries which are likely to make the difference and be very involved are the French-speaking African countries, and obviously China covers a large part of Asia as well, and Russia covers a large part of the CIS or ex-CIS states, which is, you know, it's a common language, and it's in those parts of the world that they don't speak English at all sometimes.
Yeah, and we either
Russian
tackle
would be the second language and Chinese the second language, etc. Yeah,
right.
Sorry.
And we either tackle all five languages or not, you know, or none of them. We can't do French, Spanish, Russian, and Chinese and not do Arabic. We have to do all of them or none of them if we're going to go down that route. So we'll have to kind of take it all into consideration all at once, figure out if it's something we, you know, that it's possible. And if it is, then we'll tackle it together.
Okay.
The alternative is we do four out of the five, and then one part of the community is up in arms, and it's not fun.
Yeah, well understood.
Okay. Okay, so there's definitely a couple action items. If you guys can do a review of the pages and kind of summarize additional concerns or suggestions of certain type of content, you know, for example, on this page, looking at the statuses, maybe there's a recommendation for better wording. If I'm missing a status or if one of them doesn't belong, those are all perfect things. If there's specific types of FAQs that you think might be relevant, call, you know, like suggest them. If I'm missing something on the page, right, like if there's a need for us to, you know, show a button for something or whatever it is, and you didn't think of it, all of those are really good suggestions that we can kind of take back into consideration. That said, we're at a point with our vendor that I need to be moving beyond the stage of doing wireframing. So even if there's little tweaks that we might have to take in-house to do on our own, the suggestions are valuable, but they may or may not make it into like this next cut of work because I need to start getting them to focus on styling and page design so that we can get that out of them before we run out of money. So know that it can always be a work in progress. Some of your suggestions may or may not get in there with the amount of time I have available with them.
Mm-hmm. So one question then. Sorry. I mean, who exactly is updating this policy page? Is it at-large staff doing this, editing?
So the at-large staff and or other members of the community that you give access to would have the ability to create and update this page. I don't know the exact mechanics of updating this page yet. I would imagine that it's a pretty easy set of, like, you know, web forms that you can fill in and update and populate. You know, so that on the form it would say open for comment, close, you know, open and close dates. And you set it once. And then when that date comes, you know, maybe part of the page locks itself down or, you know, the status updates itself. You know, maybe there's a section of the page for as many versions of the draft statement that you want to publish, or maybe it's just a link to the wiki. But when you get to the final, there's like an upload button so that you can upload your final document. You upload it right from there.
Okay. And the next question is also, and the URL for this policy statement will be unchanged.
The URL will be unchanged.
It will be unchanged regardless. So 5 years from now, 3 years from now, I can come back to the exact URL. I've saved it in my bookmark. I'll get to it. Because I know that's one thing that frustrates me with the ICANN public comment. When things are closed, the URL changes and it's completely broken. So.
Correct.
So, all right.
So the interesting question that we'll have to answer, not now, but it we'll have to answer at some point, is what to do with the old statements. There may be some overhead getting them kind of built into this new structure, and then potentially working with web admin to, you know, make it backwards compatible so if people typed in old addresses that they go to the new appropriate address. So those things take time and effort. There'll be something that I can assist with, but it'll be something that the web admin team will have to do on our behalf. It won't be fun, but something we can do.
Yeah.
Okay. It's easy. We just build a giant spreadsheet. We say, this one goes here, this one goes here, this one goes here, and then we give it to them. They do it.
Well, this is it. Is it that right? When the policy statement, I mean, you can't remember the IA page right now, but I mean, if the policy statement that begins with the year where the policy statement originated, like 2004, I mean, that in itself would suggest the organizational structure for previous statements. So all the statements in, say, 1999, you have it segmented by year, for example. And then maybe, this is one example. And then you can, I don't know if you want to really talk about it now, but I would like to see it consistent in the sense of with the older statements. Simply because, remember, you need the previous history of this. So if you want to discuss who is...
They will show up on this page.
Mm.
They would.
So...
They're in order of date.
So, yeah. So, I mean, we can't remove them. We can't remove the previous statements.
You're saying you would not like to remove the previous statements?
I think it will be important to keep it. But
I agree. We will keep them. Regardless, we'll still have to move them from old URLs to new URLs and make sure that if someone happens to type in the old URL, that they land on the new URL. It takes a lot of work.
Within the year or something like that. Or if it's within a particular year or something like that, or just simply take them to the, this is where the policy changes are, it's organized by year, and you use it. I'll take them to that page. Yeah.
Okay, I don't think that's a problem that we can't, overcome. It's just time. Any other last questions, comments?
Just to say one thing, though. This is visually, these wireframes are great, though, I must say. I mean, they're just visually just very refreshing from the previous at-large page. So, kudos to you and Ariel. And so.
Well, we appreciate all the commentary because it's helping drive, the creative process. So keep it coming. It's refreshing to work with people so interested.
This is a real improvement, very much so. So I'm very happy to see it. I'm not saying much. I'm just discovering things and thinking at the moment about the different things in there. I had concerns about the updatability of the site. Once it's built, will it be able to evolve by itself when topics change, etc.? And now that you've said that, that's possible, that's no problem. I'm pretty happy with it.
I just
wish it had been done a few years ago. I would have really enjoyed it.
So when we get to the point of implementing an actual functioning and working site, that in itself is a different type of challenge, right? It requires me not only to communicate what I want the site to be like, what the intent of the site is, but then we have all of these technical requirements around how the site will continue to maintain content, how links will work. There's all kinds of complexities. Some of these things we'll have from the get-go and some we won't. And that in itself is just a challenge of doing development. And there is no site that's like magically keeps itself up to date. It takes time, it takes energy, and there will be time and energy spent in keeping it fresh. It's a fact. But what I don't want to do is give you a site that's so cumbersome that you can't actually spend the time to do good, fresh content. So I want to give you the tools so that you can focus on the content and not so much on like the mechanics of this thing linking to that thing. And so that's just going to be a discussion that I need to have with our dev team as we go through this effort. And, I can only be as hopeful. I happen to have a lot of faith in the dev team. We'll be working. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Simon Rave, but he's a super sharp architect, so I think that we'll be fine.
I'm glad to hear that. One of the big concerns I always have is the workload imposed on at-large staff and updating those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make estimates of the number of person hours needed for a standard update and make sure it's less on the new site than it is in the old site, then obviously only Ariel will be able to help you out on that. And Ariel and, of course, the web team, since the old site, everything had to be updated by the web team, which I think is pretty inefficient altogether.
Yeah.
So if you're able to do internally such a calculation, I'm not going to ask you to produce graphs and whatever. We've got 22% of decrease in workload for staff to update the site and stuff like that. I don't need any of this. It's just to make sure that the new one is not cumbersome for staff to update.
Yep.
And of course, I know Ariel is going to say, "Oh, I can update all this. I can," you know. But Ariel is not going to stay there forever. She's going to move on as well at some point. And
sure.
We just don't want to end up having this huge workload on a newcomer that will not know how to do it, and will just make a dog's breakfast out of it. So
fair enough. Part of the effort is building it in a way that actually does make sense to us. I don't know what mechanics they will provide us. I'm hoping that what they provide us is something that's smart and allows us to update, you know, as few pages as possible without redundancy. So as we get through that, you know, we'll see, you know, more, and maybe, you know, our vision changes a little bit depending on, you know, what they have to do to, accommodate to our needs. So, you know, we'll just adjust accordingly as we go through it.
All right, good.
Yeah. So I guess it's a successful meeting, and thanks everyone for all the comments, and I will just send you all the wireframes we have got from the vendor, and then you can look through them in detail, and then you can send me back your comments, and I will share that with Steve, and then we'll keep working on the rest of the pages.
Super.
Yeah. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you so much again for all the time and dedication in this project.
That's
thanks,
great.
Everyone.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Steve, for this. It's great. Great. Great stuff so far. So looking forward to the rest of it soon.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Great stuff. Take care, everyone.
Afternoon and evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.